to bring the message today. And Pastor Mike, I've already told you that I'm the worship pastor. It's an honor to get to do that. That has been in my heart for a really long time since I was really little. And so it's really cool that I get to, I'm walking that out now. Brad and I have, we both obviously work here, as Pastor Mike has said, on staff, and we love it. But we have been married 20 years this June. And yeah, it's a huge milestone. And part of us are like, wait, how much time has gone? Like, how did that go by so fast? Like, what in the world? Like, how does that happen? So we're going to be celebrating that this summer. We're really excited. We have three kiddos that are miracles, all three of them in their own rights and in their own stories. And so our oldest daughter is Cadence. She's 15. Then we have a son, Paxton, who's 13. And our youngest daughter, Kendra, who's 10. It's also hard to believe that we have two teenagers and one coming up right behind them. But, you know, I guess that's what happens in 20 years. So, but anyway, our lives are very full. God has been so good to us. So when Brad and I first got married, our anniversary is June 19th. My birthday is June 30th. So we have this elaborate wedding. We go on this amazing honeymoon, and we get home, and I think I'm going to be the best wife ever because my husband is financially minded. And so I'm going to tell him, hey, let's not do anything for my birthday this year. Let's not, you know, we've spent all this money, honeymoons, weddings, they're expensive. And so let's just, you know, and here I am thinking I'm going to be the best wife ever, right? Y'all are laughing. I heard a couple of giggles in there because y'all know where this is headed before I even tell you. But let me give you some context as to who I am and what has happened up to this point in my life. My mama is the birthday queen extraordinaire. This is before Pinterest ever existed. My mom, there are four of us, and for every one of us, birthdays were a big deal. So we could give her the most obscure idea for our birthday theme, and she would come up with all the food, all the decorations, the arts and the crafts. And I am not talking about a handful of kids, that's cute. No, I'm talking about a big elaborate party with lots of children and all the things. She did this not just for me, but for all of my siblings as well. So here I am, 21 years old, I am married, I am now a grown woman, this is my first birthday as a married woman, and I have just told my brand new husband, don't celebrate me. Yeah. So the day comes and we wake up and I'm sure he said happy birthday, but there was no special breakfast, no pancakes, no candles in those pancakes. And we went on. We get to lunch. It's just another lunch, just another day, nothing special about it. Still no gift, still no cake. No card. And so as we're getting closer to dinner time, it's late afternoon, I'm starting to get my feelings about this. I know what I said, but why in the world is he not celebrating me? I am his wife. I have just given my entire life to this man forever, and he is not celebrating me. Like, what in the world is up with that? And so finally, you know, he's catching on. He's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, it's my birthday. And so he's like, but you said, and I'm like, I know what I said. And so of course we go to the grocery store, we grab a cupcake, probably a candle. I don't remember on all the details, but we made it right. And we celebrated a little in there. So why am I telling you this? Well, I'm telling you this and we forgot the confession over the word. So pause. Let's do the confession, and then let's get into the word, because we need to confess this over our hearts and our minds, all right? We're going to pray this prayer together, so let's say this together. I thank you, Father, that your word has the power to change my life. I am a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. I'll never be the same after today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And so we are finishing up our series on relationship killers. We are talking about bitterness. Aren't you excited? This is going to be so fun. Everybody's like, yeah, I don't know about that. And if you're new, this again is our series on relationship killers. And so in this series, we've been tackling some of the major issues that threaten our relationships. The Apostle Paul showed us how to win in our relationships. Our 1 Corinthians 9:24, he said, run in such a way as to get the prize. So all the important things in life, like our marriages, our relationships, we want to run to win, right? We like to win. To get the prize, he says, everyone who competes in the games must go into strict training. And so we are training to win. To win what? Well, to win in our marriages, to win in our families, to win in our relationships, every one of them. And so in week one, we learned that neglect leads to regret, but nurturing leads to fulfillment. That's the theme for this whole series. And so there are some things that can kill our most cherished relationships if we neglect them. And it will, again, our marriages or parenting or friendships or you name it, if you have a relationship with it, if we ignore these things, it can kill them and it will affect us negatively. The next week we talked about, I hit that button I'm not supposed to hit. Okay, there we go. The next week we talked about anger. We have two kinds of anger. There's righteous anger, but there's also destructive anger. Destructive anger is something going on in us, but yet we tend to take that out on everyone else. So we've got to deal with that. We've got to deal with what's going on in our heart. And then last week we talked about criticism, and Pastor Micah even challenged us to stop and replace every critical thought with a positive affirmation. So don't answer this question, but how'd you do this week on your challenge? Okay, cool. That's just for you. And then he encouraged us to ask ourselves these questions as we were thinking of the critical things, because we probably did, right? Is it helpful? Will it build up? Is it other-centered? Will it benefit? Ask those questions, but then also allow the Holy Spirit to guide you into making a more affirming decision and direction. So if you missed any of those previous messages, we want to encourage you to go back and catch hold of those. You can do that on the Church Center app, our website, or our YouTube channel. But today we are dealing with the other relationship killer, bitterness. And while celebrating a birthday, or not celebrating a birthday, because that was the directive given to my brand new husband of 11 days. Maybe that's not as major as an event that many of us have experienced, but it still very much so had the potential to create and allow unforgiveness to sneak in. Unforgiveness and bitterness, for bitterness to have its way. 11 days into being married, and there's been tons of other times for that. But of course, we did work it out. We did. And there's been plenty of other times to practice this thing. And I've gone back to this story multiple times over those 20 years. First of all, learning that it's not his fault that I set the trap and he walked into it. That was my fault. However, bitterness tends to be a blame game. It's not me. It's you. You ever heard that line? Have you ever used that line? So even in this whole birthday thing, here I am looking at him saying, it's his fault. He should have read my mind. I know what I said. But again, why in the world would he not do something to celebrate me? So I'm blaming him, but he's looking at me saying, but you said you didn't want anything. What in the world? And of course, we haven't gotten it right all the time. But again, we learned a lot that day. So if you're newly married, hint, hint. They cannot read your mind, whether it's him or her. So just say what you mean and mean what you say. All right. Bitterness, I believe, is the fruit of unforgiveness. If we have unforgiveness in our heart, it will develop fruit, and that fruit will be bitterness. That fruit will be sour, and that fruit will continue to grow until you deal with it. And what happens when we have bitterness? Well, a wall goes up. Relationships can only go so far. Whether it's, again, our marriage, whether it's parent to child, child to parent, no matter how old you are, they go hand in hand, this unforgiveness and bitterness. The Bible tells us that the best way to lose bitterness is to forgive. And I know that's a lot easier said than done. Let's take a look at what Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 32. Paul wrote, "Be kind to one another." Oh, we could put a period right there. Okay, if we're just kind to one another, all our relationships would be a lot better, right? Tenderhearted, we're doubling down. Be kind and tender. Forgiving one another, because we're going to have lots of opportunity to do that when we're doing life with someone else. Just as God in Christ forgave you. Someone who is angry and unhappy is usually because they can't forget something that happened in the past. Now, of course, I just gave a very lighthearted story about my birthday. Well, it was lighthearted now, 20 years later, but the day of, it was not. I very much felt the heaviness of it. But many of us in this room, we have things in our past that are hard to forgive. Those things, whether we realize it or not, they affect our relationships, every one of them. Because when we put those walls up, when we're carrying this burden of bitterness and unforgiveness, it affects us. And while it affects us, it inadvertently affects everyone around us, our spouse, our child, our parent, our friend, our teammate. The Bible addresses bitterness as a harmful emotion that leads to negative consequences when we don't properly manage it. And bitterness is often associated with, again, a lack of forgiveness, resentment. It hardens our heart. Again, we can only go so far in our relationship. Let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." This verse is warning us against allowing bitterness to take root ever. Don't let it. It leads to trouble. It leads to negativity, again, for ourselves, but also to those around us. We've all probably heard the phrase that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's true. Anthony Ray Hinton said bitterness kills the soul. And sometimes we hold on to unforgiveness as a way to protect ourselves. I'm not going to let that happen ever again. So there's my wall. But really all it's doing is killing us slowly from the inside out and eventually to that relationship, whatever it is. We've already read Ephesians 4:32, but now let's tag on the verse before it, verse 31. It says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you." This passage advises us as believers to let go of all forms of bitterness, the small things, the big things, these negative emotions, because when there's bitterness there, the natural response to that will be negative. Instead, embrace kindness, compassion, forgiveness, empathy for the other person, following the example of Jesus. Now, the writer of this passage is not saying, just let everybody walk all over you, because that is not of God. However, as believers, our goal every single day is to become more and more and more like Jesus, right? And so when we have opportunity to have conflict or sometimes things pop up, right, that maybe hurt our feelings or cause some tension, if we filter our words, our actions, and our attitudes through wanting to be like Jesus, then we're able to have the hard conversations that we should be having right away to deal with these things, to deal with the confrontation, to deal with the conflict. And when we filter everything through wanting to be more like Jesus, as this verse says, then we're able to do exactly that. We're able to have the conversations and remain Christ-like. That's the goal. Proverbs 14:10 says, "Each heart knows its own bitterness." And so only you know this morning if you have a place of bitterness in your heart. And I want to encourage you that as we continue through this message, that this message is between you and God. Don't sit there and think about, oh, I know who needs to hear this. I know who that person is. Like, they need to forgive such and such. No, 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 no. That is not for this. Let them deal with that. But you have to take inventory of your own self today. The Bible consistently presents bitterness as something that we as believers should avoid at all costs and also encourages that we can't overcome it. The antidote to bitterness, according to the Bible, is again forgiveness. Again, easier said than done. But as we practice this forgiveness, then it's through God's grace that he is able to produce kindness in us. He's able to transform our heart, even from the hardest of places. So now that we have looked at what the Bible says about bitterness, now let's take a look at forgiveness and what the Bible has to say. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert. The majority of the scriptures that we're going to read today about forgiveness are going to say that exact thing, forgive as God forgave you. This verse here is emphasizing the need for patience in our life. Forgiveness, again, modeling the exact thing that we have received from God, that precious gift that we have received from him. Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Before we read verse 15, take a deep breath, because this one's tough. "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Yeah. Let that sink in a second. Yikes. When I think of all that God has forgiven me from, all of it, time and time again, when I think of Jesus leaving all of heaven to come live on this earth, to take on flesh like us, so that he could be acquainted with everything that we feel and go through, do you think everybody was on his side? Do you think nobody was ever ugly to him? But he continually forgave. And then the whole goal of leaving heaven, coming to earth, doing that whole thing, was just to go to the cross, to then lay his life down for us, to pay for our sin, not his, because he was sinless. He paid for our sin. And when I think about the fact that he did that centuries before I ever had an opportunity to sin, he took care of it before that. And that knowing on the cross that when I would one day make a decision to follow him, but then I would still get it wrong. And I would have to go back to the same cross and repent again, however many times. Man, when I can't wrap my heart and my head around that sometimes without getting a little emotional, because he's taking care of all of it. There is nothing that you or I can do today or any day after that that he hasn't already paid for with his precious blood. He did that so we would be free. And if you're here this morning, this is not the end of my message, but if you are here this morning and you're not sure if you have received forgiveness from God, I was going to say challenge you. Yeah, I'll challenge you, but I'll even take it up a step and I'll dare you to stop by that next steps table over there. Because then we're going to have some church leaders that are there that can help you determine if you've made that decision. And if you haven't, let's do it today. It's easy. It's a gift that he gave to us. His forgiveness is like nothing else. And he loves you and he has a plan for your life and he forgave you of all of it. Thinking of that worst thing that you can think of, he covered that. Yep, he did. And I'm so thankful he did. This verse is actually part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave, and it directly links forgiveness that we have received from God with the forgiveness that we should be extending to each other. And I know, maybe you're thinking, but you don't know what they did. And you're right, I don't. But Jesus does. So let's take a look at this next verse, Matthew 18, 21 through 22. It says, Peter comes to Jesus and he says, "Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Seven, is that good?" Right? Jesus answered, "I'll tell you not seven times, but 77 times. And this passage is not saying that Jesus is teaching math right now, because he's not. Boo. I'm not a math person. But rather, Jesus is actually teaching that forgiveness is boundless. Amen. It cannot be counted, nor should it be. It's not limited, but it's continual. And again, I am so thankful that God is not sitting up there with his little tally marks. 76. She's got one more to go. I'm so thankful for that, because I'm sure I have way surpassed 77 already. But I'm so thankful that he continually, again, forgives. It's who he is. We've already looked at this verse twice, but we're going to look at it again. Ephesians 31 through 32. It says, "Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice. Be kind, be compassionate to one another, not just the people that are being nice to you, but to everyone. Forgiving each other." And again, continuing with our theme, just like God forgave you. This passage advises believers to let it go, all the negative emotion, all of those negative actions, including unforgiveness. And instead, he encourages us to take on kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and again, to follow the example of Jesus, the example that he led for us. The only way out of bitterness is to forgive. It's the only way. And as I was preparing for this message, I came across Tim Timberlake, and he gave this quote. It's kind of a long quote that I'm going to share with you, but I feel like I can so identify with what he says here, and I have a feeling that many of you will also. Forgiveness does not change the person that hurt you. Forgiveness changes you. Forgiveness does not mean you forget. It's a crazy theory to think that you forgive and forget. You don't forget. I'm sure that many of us in this room right now are remembering. But every time that you remember, you have the opportunity to forgive again. There are things and people in my life that every time I remember, I have to forgive them again. Forgiveness is not a one-time fix-all. Forgiveness is a daily sacrifice that I have to implement. Why? So I can receive everything that God has for me. And if I don't put into practice forgiveness for those that hurt me, for those that impacted my life in a negative way, then I hold myself hostage to a prison that God never intended for me to stay in. There was a time in my life that while I went on and I was doing all the things, work with them and everything, but I had this one place I was holding on to that I just couldn't let go. And I'm so glad that God put people in my life to help guide me and to help me so that I could release it. And again, just like Tim says right here, it's not that I forgot, because I have not, but I have the opportunity to continue to forgive and to practice that in my life. And I know how hard it can be. I know whether it's, you know, something that small, like the forgotten birthday, not really, but sort of, or whether it's a dumb decision that somebody else made that you had no choice about and it altered your life forever. I know what both of those can be like. And I know what the power of forgiveness can do in our hearts. So maybe you're thinking, okay, great, we got it. The Bible says this about bitterness, and the Bible says forgiveness is the only way out. Thanks for bringing up all the things. Now, what do I do with it? Let's talk about it. Bitterness, it paralyzes us, but forgiveness empowers us. And so I think the first thing that we have to do is acknowledge the places that you have bitterness, that you have allowed unforgiveness to be there in your heart. And again, for some of us, it could be something that happened on the way to church today. It could have been something that happened in the foyer. But for some of us, it could be something that happened years ago that we're still holding on to. We have to acknowledge the places where we have unforgiveness that has developed this fruit of bitterness. We have to acknowledge it head on. Bitterness, it imprisons us, but forgiveness releases. We've got to let it go. We've got to surrender. Holding on to it is not helping you. You've got to release it. But the amazing thing is we get to release it in the safest place ever, and that's with Jesus, the one who also extends forgiveness to us over and over and over and over. Bitterness sickens us. It sickens our relationships. But forgiveness, it brings healing. And so the last thing that I think we have to do is, after we acknowledge and after we release, is reconciliation. But I want to kind of talk that word out a second, because this reconciliation may or may not be with the person that caused the harm. This reconciliation may be between you and Jesus. Now, if you're married and you're here and there's a place that you are thinking of or dealing with, husbands, have that hard conversation. Wives, sit down. Let's do this. We can't build strong families if we're afraid of the conversations that need to take place. And I know they're hard, but that's where healing comes. Forgiveness comes through the forgiveness and healing come If you're a parent and you need to apologize to a kid, no matter their age. If you're a child, no matter the age, and you need to apologize to a parent and cause that reconciliation, that may be very well the thing that you need to do. I don't know. That's between you and Jesus today. And it may require extra support. You may need to pull in someone outside, a therapist, a coach, and that is 100% okay. Amen. Do it. Yep. Get the help. Because we want to see you succeed. We want to see you grow. We want to see your relationship grow. We do believe in strong families, and it's going to start with us laying these things down. And again, for some of us, maybe the person that caused the harm has already passed away. Maybe they have completely cut off, and so there is no chance for that between each other. And that's okay, because this reconciliation is really for you. It's repairing your heart. It's freeing you from the burden of carrying anger and resentment. Carrie Ten Boom said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. Jesus came to set us free. We're no longer bound because of what he did. However, bitterness binds us again. And if it wasn't for Jesus forgiving us, then we really actually wouldn't be able to forgive other people. But because of his forgiveness, we can. Thankfully, we don't have to do this alone. The Holy Spirit is our helper in every area of our life, including this. It's through his strength. And so I want to ask you this morning, what would happen if forgiveness constantly flowed in us and through us, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our parenting, and in our businesses, what you name it? Would it change our relationships? It's not a trick question. The answer is yes, it would. Again, not allowing people to walk all over us, but laying down unforgiveness, laying down its fruit, would change our marriages. It would change the way we parent. It would change our extended family. It would change our friendships. Would our schools be different? Would our businesses be different? Our ministry teams? Because while we are serving God together, we're in his house, there is still going to be times where conflicts happen. There's going to be times where we have to have hard conversations, because the whole goal of serving in the house as God is to lead others to him. And we can't do that if we're harboring unforgiveness and bitterness to each other. Amen. We can't. God cannot do everything through you that he desires to do and all the things that he's called you to do if that place is untouched. I know that for a fact. Even in our church family, extending forgiveness to one another would change our church. Taking on kindness and compassion, and again, filtering everything we do, think, and say through the fact that we have been forgiven. Amen. If we could just live that way, would it change us? It would. And so I want to encourage you this week to take time to reflect on the places of your heart that may be carrying bitterness. Again, this is between you and the Lord, and what you do with this today is really up to you. Forgiveness empowers, forgiveness releases, and forgiveness heals. We first have to acknowledge the places, then we release those places to Jesus as he has forgiven us, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing to our heart. And even to the hearts of those that caused us harm, because he forgave them too. Whether they have accepted his forgiveness is, again, another thing. We're only responsible for our part. And so I believe this morning that even as we've been talking, I know that this is not the easiest of subjects, but even as we've been talking, I believe that the Holy Spirit's already at work. That he's already uncovered to you the places. Why do I know that? Because as I prepared, he uncovered some places I thought were taken care of too. And so as we finish up this series on relationship killers, I believe that, God is going to do a work in us as individuals. And that work in us and that healing in us as individuals will then extend into our marriages, will extend into our parenting, will extend into our families. In every relationship that you can think of, his desire for us is to be free.